This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
A new Australian-developed diagnostic test is set to be rolled out across the country for a little-known sexually transmitted infection, which about 400,000 Australians are likely to have. Mycoplasma genitalium, or MG for short. MG can cause infertility and acts like a superbug and is resistant to most available antibiotics. Earlier today, The Informer's Dina Curie spoke to Associate Professor Katrina Bradshaw from the Melbourne Sexual Health Clinic about MG and asked, why are we only just hearing about it?
Mycoplasma genitalium is really a bacterial STI that is very similar to chlamydia. So it's associated with similar symptoms. So in men, it can cause urethral discharge and burning when they pee. In women, it can cause deep pain with sex, abnormal bleeding, lower abdominal pain. But like chlamydia, it's often asymptomatic. The difference to chlamydia, or one of the marked differences to chlamydia, is its propensity to develop antimicrobial resistance and its intrinsic resistance to commonly used antibiotics. So it lacks a cell wall, so it's intrinsically resistant to a number of common classes of antibiotics like penicillins and cephalosporins, and it's really only responds to a couple of available classes. So that's azithromycin and another class of drugs called quinolones. And when we started using azithromycin for mycoplasma genitalium about 15 years ago, it worked really well. But over the last decade, it's developed increasing resistance to the point now that more than 50% of cases that are diagnosed are now resistant to azithromycin. Our second-line antibiotic, moxifloxacin, which is a quinolone, was also very successful when we started using it in about 2006, but we now have resistance to that in about 10 to 15% of cases. And quite alarmingly, in about sort of 8 to 9% of cases, we have resistance to both antibiotics, which leaves us with very limited treatment options.
So does this mean there's a lot of people carrying this or experiencing these symptoms, or it's just not able to be treated?
So we don't have surveillance for mycoplasma genitalium, so we don't know exactly how common it is, but a number of pieces of evidence indicate it's as common, probably as common as chlamydia, and affects about 1 to 2% of the population. Now, in terms of symptoms, as I said, often people will be asymptomatic. We know that it tends to last a reasonable length of time in individuals. We don't have a lot of natural history data, and that's an area that's really needed. But it probably lasts for sort of 3 months plus in individuals. And in some cases, we know it's lasted for over 2 years.
Right now, with the information that's been released today in press releases, the focus has been on making sure more protection is for women. What's the priority for us to make sure women are getting the treatment that they need to fight MG?
The emphasis has been on women only because the media release was from the Royal Women's Hospital, and that deals with women. So at Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, we see both men and women, and men are equally affected by mycoplasma genitalium, and in fact we find that gay men are probably disproportionately affected by mycoplasma genitalium, which we see at the moment for other STIs like syphilis and gonorrhea. So it's of equal importance in men and women. The only difference is that women have an upper genital tract that puts them at far greater risk of serious complications. So things like preterm delivery, pelvic inflammatory disease, infertility. So these are things that men really don't have to worry about. But that's really why there's been an emphasis on women in the press releases today.
That was Katrina Bradshaw with Dean Curie. Up until now, most GPs have not had access to a test which to diagnose the disease and have guessed at which class of antibiotics to use, leading to mycoplasma genitalium having resistance to most antibiotics. Chris Williams contracted MG and spoke to us earlier today about his treatment.
It was September in 2016 that I found out that I had acquired mycoplasma genitalium, also known as MG. It was the first time that I'd really heard anything of its nature, and it was originally a casual sex partner that notified me that he had acquired this thing called MG, or MG for short, and I didn't really know anything about it at the time, and he didn't know a lot either. He was having a pretty rough time dealing with it in terms of he was having symptoms and was also having side effects from some of the treatment that he was being given, but he encouraged me at that point to go and get a test for it, which I did, and it came back positive. I was completely asymptomatic, so I had no idea at all that I was carrying anything of that nature. But for me personally, when I've had things like chlamydia and gonorrhea before, I've also never had any symptoms of that. So it's not necessarily surprising to me as an individual. Some guys do get symptoms, some guys don't. It was a very strange process to go through and realize that I've acquired something that doesn't seem to be on the radar. Certainly the common sexual health channels for information that I would go to, those websites, those Facebook feeds, those kind of things where I would be able to get information, they weren't talking about that. So that was a little concerning, first of all. And certainly dealing with the GPs also didn't seem to know a huge amount about it at that time, especially in terms of how to treat it. But I did know that certainly MG was something that was very resistant to a lot of first-line treatments, and that kind of added to my anxiety at the time. Now, where we're at now in terms of understanding MG a few years later, it's not necessarily as concerning as that. It's certainly not not a great thing, but there are treatment options available. For me, in my case, the way that it worked was that they performed a special test and a resistance test. So that test is able to identify, first of all, whether somebody has MG or doesn't have MG, a confirmed diagnosis. It's also in the same test able to identify whether that particular strain of MG is resistant to frontline treatment, azithromycin. Azithromycin is an antibiotic used for various other treatments, to other types of STIs, but we know that certainly some strains of MG are completely resistant to it already, so therefore there's no point treating somebody with azithromycin for that. So in my case, they gave me a week's worth of doxycycline, which was intended to kind of weaken the bacterial infection, and then immediately after that, I started on another week of a stronger antibiotic called cytofloxacin. It's one of maybe three or four, I think, antibiotics that are kind of second-line ones that can be used to treat MG. Going for regular tests is an important part of managing your sexual well-being in any case, but certainly for most gay and bisexual men, we're offered standard tests for things such as HIV, Hep C, syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea. Those are the kind of the standard tests that we do, as well as vaccinations for Hep A and Hep B. But MG is not currently offered as standard. But you can, if you're concerned, request a test from your GP. But certainly at the moment, the recommendation is if you've been notified by a sexual partner that you may have acquired MG or they've acquired MG, then you can request a test. But at the moment, it's not necessarily something that we're encouraging people to proactively test for.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.